Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Shoes?
What's the matter, Morty?
Girl, this thing.
Turn to my whole dress.
Girl, this thing.
Great gowns.
Girl,
beautiful gowns.
Fashion has changed.
Girl,
no, it hasn't.
Hi, I'm Lauren Garoni.
And I'm Chelsea Fairless.
And welcome back to another episode of the Every Outfit Podcast. This week, I would say, very special episode. It is our hotline, love line, Valentine's Day episode.
All the lines.
Thank you to everyone who called in to the hotline. I just want to say, if your call was not featured, do not take it personally. Please know either Chelsea or myself listens to every single voicemail that comes in. But there's just only so many burger-esque breakup calls that we can include.
Also, some of you guys need new cell phone carriers. Because the audio quality is not giving.
Thank you for adding our hotline into your contact list on your cell phone. Maybe don't call us when your phone is paired to your car because we cannot hear you. And we don't want to do that to the other listeners. We have heard your complaints. We know it is hard enough to hear the voicemails as it is. Before we get into this Valentine's Day themed episode, we have some news.
Yes, thank you to all the fuckettes that alerted us to the fact that we got a shout out on Kristen Davis's podcast, Are You a Charlotte?
And thank you to those who gave us the exact timestamp of when we were mentioned. Not that we don't listen to Are You a Charlotte? It's just the fear that entered our bodies when we learned that we were name checked. It's like we needed to hear exactly what it was before we could go back and enjoy the episode.
So true. It was a very special episode because Michael Patrick King was the guest.
AKA Daddy MPK.
And let's just play the clip now.
Also, they used to do those giant polls. Which one are you?
Right. Like
and
the BuzzFeed.
It would be like Miranda, 9%. And I would be like, bullshit. That's total bullshit. Every smart, funny woman I know has a Miranda.
Definitely.
And they just don't want to own it.
Definitely.
And then
definitely.
Years later, that, Every Outfit on Sex and the City became the champion of Miranda.
Right.
Only
we should all
us,
be Mirandas.
Yeah. Only for us to destroy it and just like that.
I
so,
know. And then so, they got very,
very
upset
mad.
With
but
us.
But the reality is.
Phew. I'll take that.
It should go without saying that Kristen Davis and Michael Patrick King are two of the nicest people on the planet. And Lauren and I are full-blown cunts. But they are right. We spent years of our lives championing Miranda, repositioning her as the most aspirational character on the show. And then, of course, when And Just Like That came out, we had to speak to the doofusication of Miranda.
This kind of sounds like a cosign that they know that they ruined the character of Miranda. I'm sorry.
I don't think this was intended to be an admission of guilt.
But that's how I'm taking it. Look, this is the best way we could have been referenced because I was anticipating Daddy MPK being like, fuck them and the horse they rode in on. How dare they speak of this work that I have spent decades doing? And they spend, what, hours shitting on their little podcast?
On their sad little podcast. See, he's not even that mean, though.
No, we do not deserve his niceness, and we are aware of that. I also will say, it is his right to do whatever he wants on And Just Like That.
Yeah.
But also...
Lauren, see, you couldn't just leave it there.
All right, let's get into the calls.
Hi, Lauren. Hi, Chelsea. Hope you're both well. Adrian here, calling from London. So back in my early 20s, I went on a date with this guy who was seemingly perfect. He was dashing, charming, successful, a little older than me, basically everything that a baby gay could possibly hope for. So I went back to his place, this gorgeous townhouse. We started making out, one thing led to another, and we decided to move things to the bedroom. But before we did that, he asked me how open-minded I was when it came to mixing sex and food. I naturally assumed he was referring to, you know, the regular stuff, strawberries, chocolate, whipped cream, blah, blah, blah. So I said, yes, of course, I'm super open-minded. He was delighted with my answer and asked me to go over to his bedroom and wait for him there naked with my eyes closed, which I promptly obliged. 10, 20 minutes later, he arrives butt naked, holding a bowl of spaghetti bolognese, which he then proceeds to grab fistfuls of and fling at me while pleasing himself. Needless to say, it was quite shocking, and I didn't really know what to do, so I kind of just went along with it. He kept asking me to rub the spaghetti on my chest, which seemed to really turn him on. It was quite strange, to say the least. And, you know, I'm not one to kink shame, and normally, you know, I tend to be quite open-minded, but that was a little too much, if I'm completely honest. But, yeah, anyway, yeah, you know what? It's all good. I laugh about it now, and... that actually inspired me to make my first short film based on that story, so silver linings. So yeah, that's it. Apologies for trauma dumping on you, and hope you have a good day.
I mean, that was the best kind of trauma dumping, honestly.
Yeah, like, let us know if you need us to crowdfund your therapy or something.
Yes, and also send us your short that you made about this. We definitely want
to
see it.
I know that you're not one to kink shame, but I, however, am not above that. This is insane. Even though he asked you how you felt about food, it is still very presumptuous to go this far. Also, I was disturbed when you said he was gone for like 10 to 20 minutes. Was he cooking that meal?
We do need to bring shame back because people can have too specific of fetishes. I agree with you. I have many follow-up questions. Is bolognese better than spaghetti and meatballs? Like, would having a ball made of meat thrown at your body added insult to injury, perhaps? Also, logistically, is he holding the bowl in the crook of his arm and throwing it? And then which hand is he jerking off with?
So he's jerking off with the bolognese sauce.
Oh. Now, that's talent.
You are living in your own little version of Sex and the City for sure, but this actually does sound more like Fear Factor.
I mean, I think that's the next frontier. Let's mix a show that's Sex and the City and Fear Factor.
Like, if he's doing this the first time you fuck, what is a long-term relationship with this person like?
I didn't even wonder that because I'm just assuming if you are indulging in this behavior, you are assuring you're never going to see this person again, or you're meeting the love of your life. I also feel like this call is going to give us all a complex, every one of us as fuckettes, because if I'm ever asked if I'm into mixing food and sex, I am now going to have to ask the follow-up question, do you mean strawberries and whipped cream or throwing spaghetti at my naked body?
Yeah. Well, there's also the people that are like sexually into force feeding people, which is a truly twisted one. Anyway, praying for you, spaghetti boy.
No, he's Adrian.
Praying for you, Adrian. Thank you for sharing this.
Hello, Lauren. Hello, Chelsea. I have a question about past relationships. So in the late 2000s, like right after high school, I dated a juggalo for a few months. And I myself am so not a juggalo. And I've truly never dated anyone that was like, I don't know, so different for me. And I'm wondering, have you ever dated anyone that was completely different from you? That's all. Love you guys. Love the pod.
When you say you're so not a juggalo, what you mean is you're so not a juggalette. Because that's what female Insane Clown Posse fans are called.
I think Chelsea and I know more than you would expect about juggalo culture.
It's hard not to be fascinated by it.
I do appreciate that she was like, I just need Chelsea and Lauren to know that I'm not a juggalo.
It is truly one of the least appealing musical subcultures, in my opinion, but they do have a pretty cool look, which is this clown makeup. It's kind of like John Wayne Gacy meets like a MAGA rally.
Yes, although I believe they're anti-Trump.
Are they? That's good.
To answer your question, yeah, I've never dated anyone with such a subcultural interest that it becomes a 24/7 lifestyle, like being a Disney adult, or someone that's super into mixed martial arts, or someone who might take me to the gathering of the Juggalos.
You at the gathering of the Juggalos would do me in forever.
Oh my god. Here's the thing. My own fan fiction about this relationship, Chelsea, is because she says we only dated for a few months. I like to think that he took her to the gathering of the Juggalos and she was like, oh no, this is too much for me.
Yeah, you can't really date someone that is really, really into a subculture that you're not in because they simply spend too much time doing those things, like going to the gathering of the Juggalos and following ICP around the country and shit.
Let us not judge ICP. This also, I feel like, extends to people who are way too into the Grateful Dead.
Yeah, of course. How much time did he spend painting his face? Did he fuck you while he was in the clown makeup? Like, this I also need to know.
Yeah, maybe she didn't even make it to the gathering of the Juggalos because one night he just came out in Violent J clown makeup and she was like, this is too much.
But to answer your question about if we have ever dated someone against type, yes, I very much have. In high school, in fact, I did date a guy that was into ICP and Cannibal Corpse and Korn and all of those kinds of bands. He wasn't exclusively into that shit. Like, he also listened to the Velvet Underground or the Smashing Pumpkins. So it wasn't like a full rage rock situation.
It was also the late 90s, early 2000s when you dated this person. So that makes sense for the time period. To date someone who's very into the Insane Clown Posse in the 21st century and in the like second decade of the 21st century is intense.
I think what I really need to know is, does someone fall in the center of the Venn diagram of ICP and the Every Outfit podcast? Like, are there any juggalos or juggalettes listening?
And should we embed ourselves and do a sort of man on the street or juggalo / juggalette on the street fashion piece at the gathering of the Juggalos?
Like I said, the looks aren't bad.
There is decent street style going on at this event.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
Hi, ladies. Okay, so Valentine's Day is coming up in like a month, and it got me thinking about celebrity weddings. And I was wondering, what are some of your favorite fashion moments from celebrities' weddings, and maybe least favorite too, because Lord knows there are some nightmares out there as well. So I would love your insights into your favorite wedding looks of all time. Let me know. Thanks.
Do you have a least favorite? Because I'm a bitch, but even I was like, I don't know if I can shit on someone's wedding.
Oh, I'll shit on someone's wedding dress.
Okay, whose?
I will say my least favorite, but I have to say my favorite because they are truly diametrically opposed, which is one of my favorite wedding dresses ever, which I think you will also agree with, is Gwen Stefani's first wedding dress, to Gavin Rossdale, the custom John Galliano with the pink ombre. So therefore, one of my least favorite wedding dresses is Gwen Stefani's poofy wedding dress to Blake Shelton.
No, I'm with you on that.
There is also a trope that I call Grace Kelly drag that is also not a favorite trend of mine in wedding dresses, which is all of the celebrity brides that mimic Grace Kelly's iconic wedding dress. There's also been this trend and this controversy. This influencer, Olivia Culpo, got married in this like overly like conservative wedding dress, which is not really her style. You look it up, Chow. There's nothing wrong with the dress. It just is very against her personal style. And then she went on this whole thing. I believe the wedding was covered in Vogue, where she went out of her way to be like, I didn't wear strong lip or eyeliner. And it was this weird, like, now that I'm a bride, I'm going to be kind of puritanical and be completely covered up, which as a look, I'm fine with. But it's like this idea of, because I need to be a bride and wear white.
This does just look like a budget version of what Meghan Markle got married in.
I do have one more bitchy take, but I feel like we need to say some of our favorite wedding looks before I can get into my bitchiest take.
There's so many for me, so I'm just going to go with the ones that popped into my mind first, which is, of course, David and Victoria Beckham. Incredible wedding look by Vera Wang. Even more incredible purple reception look by Antonio Berardi. Little Brooklyn Beckham as a baby in a purple cowboy hat. Obsessed with that. But also, I love Christy Hume and Donathan Leach. Do you know the look that I speak of?
Yes.
It's very Ren Faire. It's very Princess Bride.
They got married in Scotland, right?
I think so. She had a tiara, kind of similar tiara vibes to the childlike empress from The Neverending Story.
And he wore a kilt.
Also, Tori Amos also had a Ren Faire wedding, and she wore like a light blue velvet cloak that was very Stevie Nicks.
If you are listening to this podcast being like, I hate when they mention looks and I don't know what they're talking about, just go to the episode notes. I'm sure we will link to all of these looks. I was going to go with, when I think of favorite wedding looks, I can't help but go decades back. I think of Bianca Jagger, which got married to Mick Jagger, which you would think is a pantsuit, but it is a white skirt suit with a fedora and a veil over it.
Well, it's not a fedora.
Is it not a fedora? What is it?
No. It's a much wider hat than that.
But that was pretty major. If I didn't get married in Vivian Westwood, I think you even said this, that you thought I would probably get married in a Bianca Jagger-esque look.
Yeah, that's what I was expecting.
And then I love Mia Farrow's wedding dress to Frank Sinatra, their Vegas elopement, where she wore a little 1960s mini dress with a jacket over it.
Yeah, I love a short wedding dress when it's done really, really correctly. Like, I also love Stella Tennant's Helmut Lang wedding dress. That, to me, is the chicest anyone has ever looked getting married.
Okay, my bitchiest take. There is a TikTok influencer named Tania Soren, and she got married last year and spent the better part of the year posting videos of her trying on dresses, probably because that content did really well. She went to Vivian Westwood twice. She went to Vera Wang, LoHo. She tried on so many cool dresses, and that was the anticipation amongst her followers of like, oh my god, what cool dress is she gonna wear when she gets married? And then her wedding day came, and the dress was basic, like very poofy, very early 2000s. Not that there is anything wrong with that, but she was trying on a lot of avant-garde dresses, so it was just a shock to be like, oh, this is what you chose.
Well, she looks great at the reception, I have to say.
That is Vivian Westwood, I think, couture. She went to Vivian Westwood twice and tried on the normal dresses and then the, like, made-to-order stuff. And yes, this dress that she wore to the reception, I'm like, this kind of should have been your wedding dress. But again, was a surprise, not just to me, other people who had looked at her videos for the better part of the year. It's too much anticipation.
Hi, Lauren and Chelsea. Longtime listener, Bucket here. I'm going to be anonymous. So I'm calling for the Valentine's episode because my boyfriend and I have been talking a lot ongoing about how we would love to have a threesome one day, and are both really excited by the idea. and calling just to pick your guys' brain, because I feel like I've always heard that like a threesome is only great for the extra person, not the couple. And like, it could be bad for the relationship, and it could, like, it's easier and cleaner when you're the extra person and you can kind of dip out. Right. And so, I'm curious if you've heard of any positive experiences and just like have tips for that. Also, like, if you guys know of any advice, for finding said third person, love any sex positive advice that you guys would have. All right. Love the show. Love you guys. Bye.
First of all, I don't think a threesome is necessarily better for the third person. I think with any sexual relationship, it either works or it doesn't. But just based on this call, it seems like you seem a little bit ambivalent about whether or not you want this or whether or not it's a good idea.
Well, what I took away from this call is the hesitancy is around what could this do to our relationship. And I think why this idea that the third person in the threesome, it's the best position to have because you just get to go home afterwards, I think gets at the heart of, as a couple, before you have a threesome, you should have a discussion of what happens afterwards.
Yeah, but you also can't always anticipate what happens afterwards. You know, I know people that have had threesomes that have broken up their relationships. I know people that regularly have threesomes that have the strongest relationships. It really depends.
It also depends, what is this threesome? I'm going to assume it's about bringing another woman into the scenario, or is it about bringing another guy in, and it's a cuck chair scenario?
A devil's three-way?
The other part of this call is the hand-wringing around, well, how would we even find a third person? And I think there are three options. There's Field.
Yes, every straight couple is on Field, literally.
There is your friend group, which I don't really recommend.
No. Dan Savage thinks acquaintances make good threesome partners, not friends, people you barely know, but still people that you know slightly more than an absolute stranger.
Third option, which many friends of friends who are in heterosexual relationships have done, which is you hire a sex worker.
Yeah, this is actually your best option.
You and your partner can be together in the process of finding this person, interviewing them. You can set up whatever fantasy you have of, like, we bump into her, him at a bar, and then they go home afterwards. There's an inherent boundary in that that I think shields you from feelings getting involved, which bringing certainly a friend or an acquaintance, that can happen.
Yeah, you don't want a clingy third. Or you don't want your partner to start being weird.
So, I mean, threesomes are in the conversation of opening up a relationship. And Paul has this line where he's like, if you're looking to open up your relationship, you have to ask, open to what exactly?
Yeah.
You guys are both into the idea of like how hot it's going to be. But I think in order to preserve your relationship, a lot of unfun, unsexy conversations probably have to happen before the fun, sexy stuff.
Right. Or you could start by not actively looking for a third, but perhaps like talking about a third in like a dirty talk capacity to just see where that goes. Much lower stakes.
This is true.
Anyway, best of luck to you. Let me know if you find your unicorn.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Hey,
Hey, Chelsea. Hey, Lauren. My name is Anthony, longtime fan of the IG and the pod. I'm 38 years old. I'm calling in. I don't know if this question is totally on theme for this week, but I'm getting married with my long-term partner of 8 years, Tony. Yes, two of us are Anthony. And we're doing it big. Like, we're getting married at a fancy hotel called the Beauport in Gloucester, Mass. And we're inviting like about 130 people. And I was hoping that I would be more excited as we move into the date, which is, it's happening in July. But I've become more anxious, sort of obsessive, upset about like the guest list and like feeling like we invited a lot of like randos, meaning like people we met at Puerto Vallarta when we got engaged. And then also like some of my mom's friends, and then also friends that we just know collaterally. So all of that is coupled with also my own feeling of like, should I be having a big wedding? Is it sort of tone deaf in like the climate we're in right now? So that's all been coming up, and I've expressed that to Tony and sort of reservations about it. And he's kind of felt kind of hurt and triggered by it, you know, where we're like basically like writing vows, and then I'm bringing this up, and I was just wondering, like, is this normal? How do I navigate it? Really love and appreciate your opinion. Thanks. Bye.
So you have two people who have had weddings on the opposite ends of the wedding spectrum. Chelsea, you eloped. I had a whole ass wedding. Like me, caller, you have chosen to have a whole ass wedding. By the way, congratulations to you and Tony.
Congratulations. And with planning a big wedding, a degree of anxiety is totally normal. However, you did let the wedding get bigger than big.
Oh.
I'm just saying, randoms from Puerto Vallarta? I actually love that.
Your mom's random friends, we could understand.
But this isn't anxiety about marrying your partner. It's anxiety about merging these disparate social groups, which I completely understand. What a nightmare. This is the plus of eloping.
Since you are doing what I did, which was to have a whole ass wedding, my advice to you is that you're going to have to get comfortable with the uncomfortable. And the most uncomfortable fact about having a larger wedding is this wedding is not for you and Tony. This wedding is a party for everyone else that is technically in your honor, but you will more function as a presidential candidate who needs to press the flesh rather than enjoy the party you've spent months and untold amounts of money planning.
Also, this isn't a random house party with a bunch of people that have never met. This is a wedding, which means that there is structure. There are activities. Don't freak out. It's going to be fine. But you really have to, like, let go and let God with this one.
I mean, to answer your second question, should you even be having a big wedding considering everything going on in the world? Absolutely. The world is shit. I think we need to celebrate the wins even more now than ever.
Yeah, and don't worry about your MAGA family members unless you think they're going to ambush the other guests.
It's not your fault. Like, at a certain point, certainly at the reception, everyone's just going to have to fend for themselves. I don't regret having a big wedding. I think it was very important for our families, our friends, certainly ourselves. But I often say that I would like to go back to my wedding as a guest than the bride.
Yeah.
Because it seemed like a great time. Because for weeks afterwards, I was told about like food and things that happened I would have loved to have eaten or been a part of. This is all very normal. If one of you isn't questioning whether you should even be having a wedding, then you're not planning a wedding properly.
Best of luck.
Hi, Lauren and Chelsea. Longtime listener, first time caller. But I just felt like I had to share this very millennial breakup story with you all. So my name's Margo, and I'm from a small town, and I started dating a boy I worked with in, this is back in 2006, and we dated for about 9 months, was pretty serious, but I had my first then real job, so we were no longer working together, and I had an office job, and it was 2006, so I was spending, you know, a good 3 hours a day probably on Facebook. And I noticed at the end of the afternoon that my relationship status had just gone from in a relationship with Michael to in a relationship. And so when I investigated further, he had ended our relationship by ending it on Facebook, by removing himself from that status. And I called him, and he immediately sent me to voicemail, and I have not spoken with him since. So I don't know if that's the equivalent of a modern-day ghosting or a post-it note, but I felt like it was the most 2006 way to be broken up with. Like I said, we're from the same small town, so occasionally when I go home, I do run into him, and he, to this day, he pretends like he doesn't know who I am. Anyway, happy Valentine's Day, fuckettes, and thanks for listening.
Clearly you dodged a bullet. A man that is this afraid of conflict, that to this day, 19 years later, he pretends to not know you? Can't have that.
Yeah, this is such a cowardly way to break up with someone. This is way worse than the post-it, I think.
Certainly in 2006 terms.
Because it's ghosting, but also there is a public element to it just because of the Facebook of it all.
I'm sorry that this happened to you. And you seemingly have gotten no closure from this.
Yeah, it probably took her the past 20 years to recover from this.
It certainly would take me that long to recover as well. I can't get over that he pretends not to know you in your small town.
I think it's time to call him out. Make a scene.
I know. I'm too confrontational. I would just be like, hey.
Remember me? The one that you broke up with on Facebook in 2007?
If you are indeed afraid of conflict or what the townspeople might say, we will fly to this town and confront this man.
For sure.
Hi, ladies. First time caller, long time listener. I have a dating question for you both because I need help. I got divorced 2 years ago, and I'm just now ready to get out there and start dating. I'm bi, and I was married to my ex-wife for 14 years. I have not dated a man in a very long time. And right now, I find myself more attracted to men these days. But based on the state of the world, it feels like really bad timing on my part to be more attracted to men versus women. I mean, maybe this is a question for the Lukes in the audience too, but basically I'm wondering, how do I find the good ones? I've never been on the apps before, and the idea of that fills me with dread. But I guess that's what we do these days now. Where do I even start my dating journey in 2025?
First of all, I'm so sorry about your divorce. Even under the best of circumstances, I'm sure that was extremely difficult. But the silver lining is that there is dick in your future. You just have to go about finding it. But you, dear fuckette, actually have far more dating options than the average person does, because you were with a woman for so long that dating lesbians isn't annoying because you won't experience the biphobia that often comes with dating lesbians. So you have all lesbians as an option, all straight men, because straight men don't really care about dating bisexual women, and all bisexuals. This is an incredible pool of people.
Correct, but as she said, she's mostly attracted to men these days, which, as a heterosexual woman, I just have to say, is a choice in 2025.
Yeah, I remember once you were complaining about dating. I believe I was also single. So I was like, okay, at least you have like a much bigger percentage of the population to date than I do. And you were like, but I think the ratio of acceptable guys is pretty much the same once you weed through them all, as if I was a lesbian. And I was like, yeah, you know what? You're probably right, actually.
Now, should someone in 2025 who's never been on a dating app get on a dating app?
Go on Field just to get dick.
There we go.
See what happens.
Should we be sponsored by Fields? This is the second mention of the episode. An app that neither of us have used.
Yes, but every woman I know who is chasing D is on Field.
If this is your reintroduction to dating and dating men, I would maybe be a little hesitant to get on dating apps as your main source of meeting people. Maybe tap into a friend group, join a run club. don't join a run club. I just love that that has become the de facto thing. But I would dip your toe into apps, don't take it too seriously, maybe use it just to primarily hook up, and be pleasantly surprised when a good date comes out of it.
Yeah, also don't feel bad about dating guys because of the state of the world. Like, you choosing not to engage with some random D is not going to eradicate the patriarchy.
Yeah, you're not aiding and abetting the Trump administration by having sex with men.
No.
But perhaps a way into dating is finding men who also recently got divorced. That's something you guys can bond over. Chelsea's looking at me like I'm an idiot
right now. That's not bad advice. But it's like, how do you find a bunch of other divorced people if not on dating apps?
Oh, but that's what I'm saying, though, is like, perhaps look for the profiles that are like recently out of a marriage.
Yeah, that's true. You can do the Gwen Stefani, Blake Shelton thing.
Best of luck. Call us back. Let us know how it's going.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
Hi, Lauren and Chelsea. I know you guys are just going to read me the filth for even calling to say this, but I just got my J'adore Dykes t-shirt and I love it. And I feel like I should ask, can I wear this out in the world? I have been with women before, but I am currently in a long-term hetero relationship with a cis man. I don't know, I feel like a loser for even asking, but is it okay for me to wear my J'adore Dykes tee out into the world? Thanks, love you, bye.
We're not going to read you to filth. That is a valid question. I just want to make the distinction. Chelsea and I are bitches, but we're not fucking bitches.
We also want to sell t-shirts. So there's that. You have my permission. I would avoid maybe wearing it to a lesbian party that you also bring your boyfriend to and making out with him in front of everyone while wearing it. I would maybe not do that.
I like the idea that this caller is afraid that if she wears this shirt out in the wild, dykes are going to come up to her and make her prove her dyke bona fides. But if you need a card from us that we laminate that says the creators of this shirt.
At least one dyke thinks it's okay that I wear this.
XOXO Chelsea and Lauren. We will send you that card.
Also, if you are like feeling a little bit cuspy about it yourself, like I just personally wouldn't want to go out in public if I was wearing something that I thought could be like misconstrued or be a little controversial. Like that would give me anxiety. So nothing wrong with just wearing this around the house.
Just to make you feel a little bit better, when we went and saw The Brutalist, it was raining and I was wearing a dad cap. And Chell was like, you couldn't rep her own merch? Like, why didn't you wear the fuckette hat? And I was so self-conscious that at 10 a.m. on a Sunday at the AMC, someone was going to be like, you can't wear that hat here, that I just chose not to wear the hat.
One place I would not wear it would be like a stadium concert. Because my friend Steven tried to go and see Lady Gaga wearing a shirt that said like fag or something. Denied entry.
Rude.
So you have to consider like what places actually have dress codes. Keep that in mind.
And frankly, that was kind of homophobic that they did that.
Completely.
Best of luck. Let us know if you need that card. We'll send it to you.
Hi, Lauren and Chelsea. So I'm getting engaged soon, and I know this because my partner and I picked out our ring, my ring, and I don't like the idea of him proposing to me with a surprise. I mean, at this point, it just feels totally performative. So I suggested that we pick a date and time to propose to each other. I also picked out something for him and like have a night of it. And I am starting to wonder if that was an idiotic decision, if it's something I'm going to come to regret. You know, you see all of these proposal videos and I don't want anything crazy. But am I going to regret not having a surprise out of this? Philosophically, the more I think about a proposal, I just can't align with it. And I don't know what to do. Clearly, I'm neurotic about it. Okay. I love you guys. Bye.
You are such a Miranda. It's crazy. And that is why the prospect of a surprise proposal filled you with dread. So you took charge and suggested an alternate scenario, which you would be more comfortable with. Which is fine. There's nothing wrong with bucking tradition if you find the tradition to be cringe.
I can only assume that they are meeting on the Brooklyn Bridge at a certain time to propose to each other. You may think proposals are stupid, and they are, I agree with you. But you know who doesn't? Your friends and family. And they are going to want to hear a story. So if you are fine with seeing their faces when you're like, I hate a proposal, so we just decided to propose to each other at a certain date and time. Go for it then.
Who the fuck cares, honestly? Also, I relate to this a bit because I basically knew when I was going to get engaged. I was in a long distance transcontinental relationship. We went on a trip to Palm Springs with the understanding that someone was going to propose. And that's what happened. So was I surprised? Absolutely not. Was it a wonderful experience? Yes.
Yeah, I would add, I too also knew that I was getting proposed to, but the events and the sequence of events I was unaware of. So I do think there's like a healthy mixture. You don't need a flash mob to be proposed to, but it's nice to be asked.
Anyway, don't worry about this. You're not going to regret it. Trust.
Hi, Lauren and Chelsea. So I've been dating my boyfriend for almost 8 years now, and we're thinking of getting engaged. And the topic of the ring is just so overwhelming because there's just so many options. I personally grew up, my mom never wore an engagement ring or a wedding ring or anything like that. So I don't really have like kind of that traditional desire to wear a diamond. Curious what your opinion is on engagement rings in general, what type of ring you guys both have or, you know, you like that other people have, and, your thoughts on lab diamonds versus real diamonds and, you know, precious stones and stuff like that. So would love to hear your thoughts from a person who's still very undecided and conflicted with so many choices out there. Love the podcast. Thank you.
What I'm getting from these back-to-back calls is we may need to make the anti-wedding, wedding, every outfit guide.
I have no advice because, like you, caller, I don't like traditional engagement rings either. And I don't have one. I wear like a thin gold wedding band, in part because when I got married in 2017, Tad and I were not in the financial position to buy a piece of jewelry that I would want to wear every day for the rest of my life. But that said, I still have no idea what I would want. You know, I would like to get an engagement ring at some point, but I just like, I'm not into it. And I think I also dislike the aspect of engagement rings that's like about status. I mean, obviously not for everyone, but a lot of people, I think of them that way.
Yeah, I'm also someone who's not very attached to the idea of an engagement ring. The inspiration I had given Paul was like, you know, these kind of alternative engagement rings that had pearls or different kinds of stones, things that weren't diamonds. And he has a friend, Pinkney, who's a jewelry designer, and he worked with her on a ring, and it's beautiful and very traditional, but also quite different. But here's the other thing about engagement rings. Look at my hands, Chelsea. Am I wearing it right now?
You do wear it, though.
Yes. I don't think you need an engagement ring. You ultimately, in my experience, even if you do get an engagement ring, by the time you're married, you more often just wear a simple wedding band day to day anyway.
Yeah, I don't know what ring would like go with all of my shit. Because I'm more of like a silver jewelry Elsa Peretti type of person, but I don't even like her engagement rings.
It's tough. I got a gold engagement ring, and you are correct. I've had to pivot my jewelry style to gold to go with it. So yeah, get a ring, don't get a ring.
We're giving such great advice.
No, but I think there is this societal expectation. This goes back to the proposal call. When you tell people you are engaged, they're going to want to hear the proposal story and they're going to want to see the ring. But all of that evaporates once you get married. And that's sort of the important part. Do I want to spend my life with this person forever? Because people have become very attached to like, I want a wedding instead of I want to spend my life with this person.
For sure. I do like that there's jewelry built into this, though. It's nice. It's cool. I just don't really know how to go about it either, I guess.
Sorry?
Sorry.
We are of no help with this question.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
So I feel lied to by Sex and the City when Charlotte says it takes half the time that you're with someone to fully get over them. Near the end of 2021, there was a 2-month period where my 5-year relationship ended. My 19-year-old dog, named Bradshaw, after Carrie Bradshaw, died, sadly. She also died the day before, and just like that premiered. And I then turned 40 the following January. So since then, I've been dating. I'm certainly having fun, but I do not feel like I'm fully over the ex, most likely just because that next great love hasn't come along yet. I should say that I initiated the relationship ending because he was moving out of NYC and I didn't handle that so well. But why were we lied to on that show? Do you think we were lied to on that show? And how do you two recommend that I fully, fully move on? Love you. Bye.
I don't think we were lied to, but I think we should consider Charlotte's theory as a minimum.
Like it takes at least half the time you were with that person to get over them.
I think so.
We would all love to put some logic into an illogical feeling, which is being in love with someone. That like, if I follow this bit of math, I will no longer feel like I'm in pain or heartbroken. I do think Charlotte did not necessarily lie to us. Charlotte York, the fictional character on the show Sex and the City. But I do think what makes it different now versus when Charlotte said that on the show is that thanks to social media, we can have an almost parasocial relationship with our exes, where we can, if we wanted to, have access to their LinkedIn, their Instagram, see what they're doing on a day-to-day basis. Not that you said you indulge in this, but we are all privy to this behavior. I do wonder if that has hurt our ability to get over people. Is our access to their lives even when they're out of our lives.
Oh, of course. But I'm also so sorry about your dog.
Oh, what back to back. And then just like that happened in the middle of all this?
Well, and it's so horrible because processing the first episode of And Just Like That where Big dies, like that would be enough. But every time you hear Carrie's last name, you would have to think about your dog that just died the day before. That's fucking horrible. Hate that. Also, I'm sorry that you lumped in turning 40 with these other traumas that you mention.
How are you enjoying being 40, Chell?
It's great. Like I said, when I first turned 40, I find it to be a relief. I felt like the lead up to 40 was more high stakes than actually crossing the threshold.
So to answer your question, again, I don't know if you are looking at your ex's socials, but if you are, I would maybe have a social media diet from that person and see if that helps. But you're doing everything that you can do. Dating, having fun.
Yeah, you will find a replacement for this person at some point. Someone that's better aligned with your needs.
Hi, Lauren and Chelsea. This is MC calling from Austin, Texas. Longtime listener, first time caller. I'm looking for some advice from you two honest women on how to get out of my single and fabulous question mark era. I was in a long-term relationship that ended pretty badly last year, and I've tried recently to get back on dating apps, but I haven't found any success at all aside from like a few one-night stands. So I'm looking for that consuming, can't live without each other love, just like Carrie. But should I just keep putting myself out there on Hinge, et cetera, or should I just like go out and try to meet people and let love find me naturally? What do you think? Love you, ladies. Happy Valentine's Day. Mwah.
Ideally, you should do both, as horrible as that sounds. I don't advise people to give up on apps because I know so many people, especially married couples, that have met through apps. However, when you need to take a break for your own mental health, that's totally necessary.
I feel like modern dating is not that dissimilar to being unemployed and trying to find another job. Like, is it about applying for jobs online? Is it about networking? The answer is all of those things. You really need to flood the zone. That's what they refer to Trump doing. But I'm sorry, it's an effective phrase. You need to flood the zone of dating. You need to be on apps. You need to be going out and meeting people. But the problem with this cycle, and I was in this as well, which is it just gets so exhausting doing all of those things that then you stop, you know, you delete your apps, or I'm going to focus on me for a while. Then you get really lonely. Then you get back on apps. Then you start putting yourself out there again. It's a very tiring cycle. And I don't envy anyone that is in this process.
Yeah, but you have to keep persevering. And above all, focus on making your social circle bigger, not smaller. And that includes people that you have no interest in dating at all, because meeting new people leads you to other new people.
I know this is going to sound a little hooey, but you need to channel not your inner Carrie, but your inner Charlotte, and just act as if you are going to fall madly in love with someone and have that happily ever after. Because if I knew that I was going to end up with Paul, I feel like I would have taken dating a lot less seriously. Like, that's my big regret of being single, is like I just took everything really seriously, and now I realize I did not have to. So I think that would be my advice. You're gonna fall madly in love with someone, but in this in-between time, how do you want to conduct yourself?
How are you capable of conducting yourself?
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, because as you said, the vicious cycle can be stressful. So also give yourself a break.
I referred to dating as the longest unpaid internship of my life.
Hi, Every Outfit. I'm just calling to tell you that I went on an amazing date this weekend, and he's a documentary filmmaker, so I kind of wanted your take. He gives crazy artist, eccentric man energy. He's a nighttime taxi driver, and the first half of the date was really just him telling me about his film tour and like Netflix, trying to buy it, and I was like, okay, whatever. Date actually went amazing, and I'm in love with this man. I'm seeing him again tonight. But get this, he lives in a international housing co-op and he doesn't have a bed. He sleeps in a hammock, in a hammock stand, which upon hearing this, the date almost ended. But he told me later that I would never see the hammock because he was going to remedy the situation after I gave him my honest reaction. Just want to get your take on this, though. How much eccentricity is too much? He also only has a landline, so texts and voicemails go to his email, which I think is charming and delightful. Okay, great podcast. Bye.
I'm sorry, are you dating the reincarnation of Adam from Girls? Is he building a boat from spare wood he finds in Greenpoint?
You can't date the hammock man. It's not because he's a starving artist. It's because he sleeps in a hammock.
Far be it for your parasocial podcast besties to yuck your yum, but every fiber of my being is saying run.
Yeah, because the hammock represents so much, and it represents that he does not care about his home life or fitting anyone into that home life.
I find something more problematic about the hammock, and it's his phrasing of he was waiting to see her reaction before he remedied it. And it feels like this bizarre litmus test. Like, I'm reminded of a guy who took a friend of mine on a date years ago. They were going on a date in Hollywood on Sunset Boulevard, and there used to be a place called Pink Taco. And diagonal from that, across from the Chateau Marmont, is a taco place called Pinches Tacos. And he gave her the option of, like, which one would you rather go to? And she chose Pinches Tacos because it's better. And he then revealed to her that this was kind of a test for her to see what kind of girl she was, because Pinches Tacos isn't as nice as Pink Taco, which was, like, the trendier place.
Okay, but Pink Taco is also not a bad choice. May it rest in peace. It is no longer there, but we went to Pink Taco once as a joke, and we were like, this is surprisingly good.
But I was reminded of this story because of the hammock, which it feels like this is a test for women he dates, and if they have an issue with it, it's like, oh, you're that kind of girl? Oh, you're the kind of girl who judges a man for sleeping in a hammock? And it's like, yes.
Yes, in fact, I am. Also, what kind of documentary filmmaker is he? What's his documentary about? Hammocks?
Living in an international co-op?
I don't know. I'm getting bad vibes from this. Although I do find the lack of a cell phone thing to be charming. That I can get behind. It's a little inconvenient, but I would love to be with someone that was so removed from culture in that way.
Also, you didn't say the age of this man, and the combination of the landline and the nighttime taxi driver situation makes me think he might be 63.
Sus.
Hi, Lauren and Chelsea. I heard on the podcast that y'all are doing a love and relationship episode, and I have a bit of a TMI one. I've been with my boyfriend for a year, during which time I've been in a complete, like, whirlwind romance and having the best and most sex of my entire life. Not to humble brag, it does feel unreal. An unintended consequence of this has been a new and persistent pain during sex that developed from what I can only surmise is my pussy saying, "You're literally having too much sex." Without going into too much detail, I've obviously done all the things of going to the doctor, buying the necessary products, and I even wrote to a sex advice column. The reason I'm calling you, Sex and the City podcasters who are not medical professionals, is to ask a question that only you two can answer. WWSJD, what would Samantha Jones do? Thanks, love the pod.
Dear every outfit, my pussy hurts. What should I do?
I think we need to add to our bio, Sex and the City podcasters who are not medical professionals.
I know exactly what Samantha Jones would do. She would go to the top-rated gynecologist in Manhattan. She would have that annual New York Magazine issue that lists all the best doctors, and she would find the gyno to the stars, I can guarantee. Although this call did sort of set off some alarm bells for me, because there's a difference between, like, my vagina hurts because it's sore because I've been having sex a lot, and I'm having vaginal pain.
The phrasing of persistent pain, and again, as you've noted, we simply have a podcast related to Sex and the City and are not medical professionals, but yes, this is concerning. I also misheard the call, so I just wrote what I thought Samantha would say to this woman, like what Samantha's advice would be. And I think it would go a little bit like this, Chell. Oh, honey, congratulations. From a woman who's fucked a man with too small of a penis and couldn't fuck a man with too big of a penis, mazel. If it doesn't hurt a little, how do you know if anything is happening?
Oh my God. I think you should just give that hole a break. Like, give her a couple weeks of peace, because it's either sore because you've been getting pounded 24/7, or because you've been getting pounded 24/7, you've injured yourself and you're re-injuring yourself by continuing to get pounded.
At a certain point, it does feel like all of the sex you're having, which, congratulations, might be yielding diminishing returns.
Also, are you using enough lube? Is that your problem? Are you using the wrong lube?
That was going to be my secondary response, is Samantha Jones. Oh, honey, you just need a better lube.
Yeah, don't be getting your lube from the drugstore. Go to a nice, you know, woman-owned, sex-positive emporium like Babeland or whatever, and buy lube there.
I'm just imagining this caller being like, I told you I didn't want advice. As I explained, you are not medical professionals. Just tell me what Samantha Jones would do.
Hi, Lauren and Chelsea. I'm a longtime listener, many-time caller here. I'm here to ask a question for the Valentine's Day episode. So, yeah, basically, I've been single for pretty much my whole adult life, and it's gotten to the point that my therapist, my friends, my family have all pretty much indicated to me that I need to join some sort of, like, club or group to meet new people, and every time someone brings it up to me, I literally break out in hives. I think it is the saddest, most desperate thing a person could do. It's like basically broadcasting out there that I'm lonely and desperate. So I'm wondering if either one of you has any ideas for like a version of that, like something that could expose me to new people, but doesn't come off as like really, really tragic. Yeah, anything you could advise me on is welcome. Thank you. Love you. Bye.
First of all, I want to say dating can be quite embarrassing. It requires that we make ourselves vulnerable, that we put ourselves in uncomfortable social situations, potentially, that we risk being rejected. And that may be perceived as tragic by other people, but that is part of the experience. And it's not part of the experience that you can shield yourself from. And you're not the only one.
There's millions, maybe even billions of single people. But I do feel for this fuckette so deeply. As a previously terminally single person, there is nothing worse than suggestions from your coupled up friends and married family members. But I have a question about this club, because it sounds like what your therapist and friends and family are suggesting are the events of the film The Lobster.
Also, I want to know, do you have an interest where being part of a club is normal? Like if you are a runner or a bird watcher or something.
Are you happy with your life as a single person? You shouldn't get into a relationship just to alleviate the societal pressures that family and friends are putting on you. Like, if you enjoy your life as it is, then I say don't change it.
True, but I feel like there is a real effort on his part to shield himself from, like, embarrassing situations. And I get it, like, shame is the worst of all of the emotions, I think, to feel. So I understand why you'd want to avoid that at all costs, but I just think that it is unavoidable if you are really going to get out there, so to speak.
You could put this back on your friends and family when they bring this up, which is like, great, what club do you suggest I join? Or like, hey, do you have friends to set me up with? Because I do always feel like there's this ellipses when people are like, you should put yourself out there. It's like, great, do you want to help facilitate that?
I think what people really mean is you either have to be on the apps or you have to have like a very consistent, eclectic social life. There's no other way. A lot of people have jobs where they're constantly meeting new people. So that is a positive. Like if you have a job where you're meeting people that you might date, that would be part of putting yourself out there. But now more than ever, people don't have jobs like that. People's worlds are just becoming increasingly small.
I think perhaps you need to rebrand this as, instead of I need to join a club so that I can have a more rich dating pool, to perhaps acquiring a hobby. I don't have a hobby. I would love to have a hobby. Perhaps there's an interest that you've always wanted to develop. Sculpting. An improv group of some kind.
Are you seriously recommending improv? Would you join an improv group?
No, although I did take a UCB class when I first got here, and it did give me a group of friends when I first moved back to this city, but...
So you want him to humiliate himself on stage in addition to in the dating world?
Okay, ignore the improv suggestion. Let's focus on sculpting. I just think that if you look at it as trying to make your daily life akin to how you would like your dating life to be, maybe those worlds will merge a little easier.
I think you need to just throw caution to the wind and say, fuck it, YOLO. I don't care what happens to me. I'm just going to put myself out there and see what happens.
And evidently not join an improv class.
That's exactly what I'm recommending. Also, final thought, I think Instagram is the best place to meet someone. It's the best dating app that there is.
Are you saying that because that's how I met my husband?
No, I just think that that's how you meet people. You know, when I was single, I met people on Instagram here and again because it's like you can talk to people in a very casual way. You can slide into someone's DMs. But of course, this only works if you maintain a slight Instagram presence. A lot of people don't. A lot of people have private accounts. But if you're not one of those people, I think that Instagram is great. Why not just flirt with someone?
So that's what we're prescribing you, dear listener. Flirt with someone. Let's start with that.
Yeah.
Hi, guys. I had a question about cold sores because I got my first outbreak very recently and it freaked me out, even though I know that it's really common. I just wondered if you guys, what you think the etiquette should be like. Like if I'm on a first date and we're about to kiss, do I have to mention it first or can I just, you know, not mention it until I'm about to have an outbreak and then, you know, treat it really casually? Because it is. My mum has them and she says she never did that, but I feel like the mores are different now. So let me know. Thank you so much. Love the pod. Bye, guys.
According to the AI results of my Google search, between 50 and 80% of the population has oral herpes. So I would not disclose unless you have an active outbreak, you feel one coming on. And in that case, you need to refrain from kissing them unless they also have oral herpes, which they might. And this should go without saying, but please refrain from oral sex if you are having an outbreak.
Paul had what I thought was great advice that allows you to disclose your herpes status while also flirting, which may seem impossible. And by the way, this is advice for if you have an active cold sore, or I guess not. But his thought was to say to this person like, oh, man, I really want to kiss you right now, but I have the stupid cold sore. So you let the person know that you want to make out with them. They probably are going to ignore the herpes status because they're like, wait, this person wants to make out with me? So you will have done your part of being a good citizen in disclosing your herpes status while also letting that person know, I want to make out with you.
Great advice.
Hi, Lauren and Chelsea. Longtime listener, first time caller. I'm responding to your call for burger-esque breakup stories. So this happened about 10 years ago, but I was dating this guy who was getting a PhD in philosophy. So you can only imagine how self-important and obnoxious he was. And after we had been dating for about a month, he came over one night and gave me a typewritten letter in which he proceeded to break up with me. And all the while he's standing in my kitchen watching me read this note. And the reason that he was breaking up with me was because I was too fat. And I've never been super skinny, but I also was not fat. I think at the time I was like 5'5 and maybe 140 pounds. So like a pretty average size 6. And he proceeded to justify this breakup by claiming that he was a victim of the culture and was programmed to only like skinny women. And I think he was waiting around while I read this note so that I would like absolve him in some way and tell him that it was okay. But it wasn't okay, and I didn't absolve him. I told him to get the fuck out. Anyway, fuck men. Love you guys. Bye.
Legalize murder. He's a victim of the culture? This is truly the worst thing I've ever heard. Way worse than burger. Not just because he broke up with you for the most fucked up reason, but because he typed this on a typewriter. That is like some fucked up, tortured poets department shit.
Fuck this guy. You dodged a bullet. Also, I must commend you Because I feel like if I were in that situation, college age me would have tried to console him instead of telling him to fuck off, which you did. So kudos to you. Now, there is a whole debate, like, in current dating culture of, like, is ghosting better versus breaking up with someone in person? And if the choice is ghosting or getting this insane reason why you're being broken up with, I would take ghosting. Because being broken up with is bad enough. I don't need a side of character assassination while they're heading out the door.
God, it's hard to say what's better. Because this, while horrible, I feel like would make it easier to move on than ghosting, just because you would know what a piece of shit this person is, definitively, and you would understand the reason. I think he should have just lied and broken up with you in person, just said he wasn't feeling it, or typed out this letter and mailed it to you. The combination of the two is what's especially disturbing to me.
I will say that call reminded me that I did once, while I was in college, write a page-long letter to a boy I was in love with and made him read it in front of me. The reason why I did this eludes me at this moment. The me now cringes at the level of effort I put into this boy who, like, clearly didn't deserve it. But then I also remembered that that same guy years later, when we had decided to be friends, out of the blue, sent me an incredibly long email about how he would never be in love with me and how we could never see each other again. And Chelsea, the words hurt. Like, reading that email really hurt. But when I read it a second and third time, I realized that it was riddled with typos and grammatical errors. And then I just became irate that I wasn't worth the time to proofread this email.
Yeah, how was the punctuation on the typewriter letter? Because you have to start from scratch if you fuck something up on a typewriter. Anyway, this is all fucked up. I'm so sorry. This is, to me, the worst breakup story that we've heard.
And we applaud your restraint of not stabbing this man in the kitchen with a kitchen knife. If you had done that and I was on the jury, I would have let you off. I think, yes, women should be allowed to murder one guy a decade for a bad breakup. And that's the platform I'm running on when I run for California governor.
That's beautiful.
Hey, Lauren and Chelsea. I might be too late to call for the Valentine's Day hotline. I'm curious if you've just started seeing someone, as in a month to like 6 weeks ago, and how early is too, like, can I hang out with this guy on Valentine's Day and not be weird? Like, you know what I'm saying? It would be fine, and it is fine, and it's a Friday night, which is kind of good, but is it too soon to, what do you think? I would love to know. Thank you.
Well, if you were in a lesbian relationship, you'd already be married, so I don't think it's too soon.
I mean, this episode is coming out on Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day happens to fall on a Friday, so who knows if you went on a date with this person or not, but I think because it does fall on a Friday, which is a typical date night, I think you're in the clear. Have him over for a movie. Go see a movie. Just maybe not a prefix dinner.
I understand, like, from a societal standpoint, what is it, 6 weeks?
I think it was about a month.
A month could be perceived as too soon, but it's like, if this relationship is going to last or supposed to last, it shouldn't be that weird.
I perceive the weirdness might come from the fact of, do you acknowledge it? Or do you just go, hey, you want to hang out Friday night? And then put the ball in their court if they're going to acknowledge it's Valentine's Day or not.
It's funny. This is reminding me of that one Valentine's Day during the pandemic where Tad and I, like, we went to Bottega Louie, we got like chocolates and balloons, and we went to all of our like single friends' house to drop them off. We went to your house.
Oh yeah, I wasn't home. I remember this because I was like, are you making sure I haven't killed myself today?
Yeah, just like a wellness check. What's wrong with that? Like, being single during the pandemic on Valentine's Day is like not a good vibe. So we went to your house, we went to Leah's apartment, and then we got to our last friend's apartment, who we thought was single, but was on a whole ass date, like a Valentine's Day date, because she was in a new relationship. And we were like, what the fuck? we're here to make sure you haven't committed suicide and you're having a whole ass like Valentine's Day picnic?
Yeah. So I guess the moral of the story is fuck your single friends on Valentine's Day. You do you.
Hi, Chelsea and Lauren. Long time listener, first time caller. So my partner and I are starting to think about wedding for our wedding. We could see ourselves doing anything from like a courthouse elopement or fab 40-person destination wedding in the UK, or going whole hog with the full wedding in Maine, which is where we live. We'd really love your advice and ideas for what makes a wedding fabulous, or some things that you think would be fabulous for a wedding at some of the things that I just said. We're a queer couple. I'm non-binary and she's a she. Also as part of this, I'd love your advice for where to look for suiting as like a 5'4" non-binary type. I like a pant and blazer that have like a simple androgynous line. Like, I'm not a full suit and tie, but I struggle with like a lot of the flair that's in a lot of suiting for women. Like, the pants are giant, the shoulders are giant, there's pleats, there's cutouts. My ideal is just something that falls nicely and looks good. I'm curious what you'd have for recommendations for a kind of across a price spectrum for like a variety of functions, not just my wedding day, but also could be wedding guest or work, et cetera. And my final question is, Chelsea, why can't I find any pictures from your wedding? For some reason, I thought I saw something years ago and I have a memory of you coming out on a horse, but maybe that was someone else's Vogue wedding. We're really looking forward to your advice. Thanks, bye.
We will answer your question in a second, but I love that this fuckhead has maybe confused Bianca Jagger's Studio 54 birthday party with your wedding.
Do I seem like the kind of person who would get married on a horse? First of all.
Wow, you've heard of horse girls? Now meet anti-horse girl.
I would dress my bulldog in a tuxedo and make him be the ring bearer. But that is the only animal involvement I think I would want with a wedding. Yeah, there aren't a ton of photos of my wedding on Instagram because it was very small and I didn't really post about it at the time.
Here and there on their anniversaries, you can see glimpses of the wedding.
But to get to your other questions, I mean, where do I even start? Since you're a queer couple in Maine, I'm going to assume that you have a Subaru, so you should definitely decorate that car with the whole, like, just married thing and do the cans and everything if you are going to do the big wedding in Maine.
You've already heard us discuss that you basically have two wedding options, and I know you think there's a third, which is just a small destination wedding. I'm here to tell you it's not going to be possible. So you can elope, or you can have a whole-ass wedding in Maine.
Yeah, I think you should elope at the courthouse, spend maximum amount of money on the clothes, decorating the Subaru, the wedding photographer, and then just have a really nice dinner, like a smallish dinner at a restaurant, or get like a private room in a restaurant and just invite your friends, and you'll be there in your wedding outfits and it'll be fab. If a 40-person destination wedding in the UK is on the table, I am going to assume that designer is not out of the question for your look. Definitely don't buy a women's suit. I feel like a lot of women shouldn't even wear women's suits. I think it's better to buy men's suits and get them tailored generally. But if you're not a suit person, that's kind of hard. Although I do have one suggestion, which would be Essence. Essence has really, really great wedding clothes for people of all genders. They actually had a campaign recently that had like a non-binary couple that was getting married, and they have more eccentric, less binary options. But if you are going to do a suit, if money is no object, I would do Saint Laurent or Dries Van Noten. If you're looking for designer on a less pricey scale, I would go with Acne. And of course, invest in the tailoring.
We also have a friend named James Ford. He was a contestant on Next in Fashion one season. He has a brand called Rowena Social Club. Trans man, does a lot of queer weddings. He also does custom suits and has very cool suiting options. So we will link to that in our show notes. Yeah. Here's the thing. Weddings can be whatever you want it to be until your parents get involved. And then they will have ideas. So I think spending maximum budget to elope, very chic.
Spend the money on clothes, hotels, a nice sit-down dinner.
And a suit that you may have forever. All right, Chelsea, we've come to the end of the love line calls. I can think of no better call to go out on than this one.
Hi, Lauren and Chelsea. I just wanted to share a hopeful relationship story for this Valentine's Day. The other day, my partner went down on me and then proceeded to look me in the eyes and say, "Now let's eat charcuterie and drink wine all day and watch Sex in the City." And it was the hottest thing anyone's ever said to me. And I just wanted to give all the girlies out there some hope. And never settle for anything less than that. All right. Thanks. Love you guys. Bye.
Wow, caller, that was beautiful.
That was gorgeous. I'm so glad we're able to end this episode on a positive note. Thank God. It got dark there for a bit.
Yeah, so if you are single and you've come to the end of this episode and had to trudge through our pretty mid advice, I think, that we've given on dating, just know that there are incredible guys and girls and theys out there that will eat you out, have a charcuterie board prepared, and watch Sex in the City with you all day while drinking wine. That is a romance that not even Carrie Bradshaw herself could think up.
It's a beautiful thing. Happy Valentine's Day, guys.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.